He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. Well, look, today's a lot better than yesterday. This is Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. After a 619-point drubbing in the Dow yesterday, 614-point, we're getting back about 200 points right now. And that puts us above 34,000 again, 34,165. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is also getting back some of those points it lost yesterday. It is up 20 right now after losing about 43 points yesterday, so getting back half of what it lost yesterday. The NASDAQ lost 172 yesterday, and today the NASDAQ is getting back 51 points right now. So, you know, look, it's not storming back, but there definitely is some dip buying going on. And in the first part of the show, I'll tell you where that dip buying is taking place and where it's not taking place. That is very, very critical. Russell 2000 up 16 points. That puts the Russell 2K at 2,200. Crude oil remains strong. It's up 16 cents, 70.45. The hurricanes helped that. Gold up 11.60 to 17.75. Had a little bounce yesterday. Silver up 30 cents to 22.50. The bond market, as you would expect, we're back down to 1.32% on the 10-year. Up just a little bit today, 1.32 on the 10-year. And one of the areas not bouncing today, and we'll get into some more of those here in a moment, Bitcoin down $943 to $43,067. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. You know, I've been watching the markets for over two decades. I've seen a lot of sell-offs like yesterday, and obviously in the past, some of those sell-offs eventually led to either a big correction or a bear market. And the two worst bear markets that I have seen during my career, obviously in 2000, the dot-com bubble took the NASDAQ down 79%, and in 2008-2009, the S&P got hit for 53% during the financial crisis. I don't see this as one of those events, deal with Evergrande, whatever they say, however they pronounce it in China. I don't see it spilling over and causing the next bear market. But at the same time, you know, it's leading to some disruption here, and it is going to impact certain areas of the market more than others. And there are some bear markets taking place right now. There's a bear market taking place in the Chinese stocks. There's a bear market taking place in a lot of the stocks that led the market last year. The LIDAR stocks, the EV stocks, the battery chargers, etc. So there are some bear markets going around. And at the same time, you've got the market kind of focusing and concentrating in just a few little areas of the market right now, while the other areas getting no love whatsoever. The sell-off in the reflation stocks continues today. Okay, that's important. That is not one of the areas that's being bought on this dip. I'm seeing Alcoa down today. Caterpillar, which just got clobbered yesterday, it was down like 5.5%. Caterpillar sells a lot of equipment to China. There's another thing you got to look at. How much exposure do these companies have to China? How much in the way of sales do they have in China? And how dependent upon China are they with their supply chains? The iron ore stocks are not bouncing today. I guess you could say the basic material stocks. Copper not bouncing today. Freeport, MacMoran, the solar stocks, definitely. They got whomped yesterday. They're not recovering today. They're not part of any bounce at all today. The home builders, Deere not bouncing, Cummins engine. What is bouncing then? Well, you know, it just seems to be that the market wants high quality right now, high quality, dependable, big growth stocks. Apple bouncing today, Adobe bouncing today, Salesforce bouncing today, some of the healthcare stocks like HCA bouncing today. The medical sector, which obviously is a little bit more defensive than the basic material sector, having a pretty good day. And some of those big financials that got hurt yesterday thinking that they would get dragged into a big quagmire with this China stock, they're bouncing today. Carlyle Group, Blackstone, some of those companies. The software stocks are bouncing today. The cybersecurity stocks. And the other area I see, gold just a little bit bouncing today. So that's really important to know. Okay, number one, this does not look like the end of the 12-year bear market, or bull market, I mean. And even though China just continues to go downhill with their own stocks, our stocks that sell to them. We saw bad news out of Starbucks recently, Yum China. And, of course, there's others that haven't really let us know the damage yet to their own sales over there, like Apple and Tesla, et cetera. GM definitely is under pressure. Ford under pressure. So the Chinese stocks and then all of the collateral damage stocks from what's going on in China, definitely not a good place to be in the market right now in the solar stocks. So it's also important to see what the dip buyers are buying. And really, it's gone right back to where it was before this all started to happen and kind of culminating in yesterday's big sell-off. So China at the center of all of this, well, we'll see. You know, they're having the UN meeting this week. President Biden is addressing the UN this morning. Will China and the U.S. kind of reach out to each other to try to mend some of these relationships that have gone sour? But in the meantime, China's not going to change their ways, which has been a hard, hard turn towards socialism, the old Mao Zedong model, and away from the quasi-capitalism that they've been exhibiting in recent years. And that has really just clobbered these Chinese stocks. In fact, there's some talk that some of the board members and leadership of this Evergrande had spoken out over the past about the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, in not a favorable way. And you don't get away with that in China. Look what happened to Jack Ma, Alibaba, Ant Financial, etc. So I don't think there will be a rescue from the Chinese government specifically for Evergrande. But they're obviously going to have to do something to prevent the collateral damage and a contagion to their economy. So we'll see. But I don't think this is the big one. Not a Lehman moment is what is how Mohammed El-Aryan put it, the former CEO of PIMCO. And I would agree with that assessment, okay? Well, let's see. China's market still closed. It has not opened. They have some kind of holiday, I think, going on over there. The European markets were up overnight, 1.1% in London, 1.4% in Paris, 1.3% in Germany. Japan, though, a little closer to the action, down 2.2%. And the S&P, here's what the S&P says about Evergrande. They say, we believe Beijing will only be compelled to step in if there is a far-reaching contagion causing multiple major developers to fail and posing risk to the economy. Evergrande failing alone would unlikely result in such a scenario. So I guess the best outcome of this would be for Evergrande to fail all by itself, you know, and not having that failure spread to other parts of the Chinese economy and spreading into the U.S. economy. But obviously China is not a good place to invest in. How long has Bill Gunderson been saying that? I got out of any exposure I had to China, which last year I had quite a bit. You know, there were some really good, hot performance, momentum, value stocks over there. But that started to all unwind about the time Jack Ma disappeared. This is Bill Gunderson. I haven't disappeared. I'll be right back after a short break. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Evergrande is one of China's leading lenders for everything from property to autos. The company has 2.3 trillion Chinese yuan in assets, which equates to about 355 billion in the U.S. They also employ about 200,000 workers. And just about every bank in China has exposure to China's Evergrande. Now, the Chinese market will open again tomorrow. But most of what's going on at Evergrande was already known before yesterday. It was a big sell-off here in the U.S., but it will be interesting to see how the Chinese markets will open tomorrow. Now, S&P, Standard & Poor's says, we believe the Chinese banking sector can digest an Evergrande default with no significant disruption. And that's probably why you're seeing a little bounce in the market here today. They all go on to say, we have all known about Evergrande's woes and how big it was for a while, but it wasn't until Friday's story of the Chinese regulatory crackdown. Now, there's the key phrase. I mean, this has been going on in several industries now in China. That crackdown extended into property and the lenders that crystallized the story into having wider implications. Chinese regulations have been widening aggressively over the last couple of months, but so far they were leaving that area of their economy alone. Well, not anymore. S&P goes on to say there was still no domestic signs of a contagion by close of business on Friday. We don't believe the business model of Chinese property firms is, on the whole, broken, says Barclays' A.J. Radayaksha, head of macro research. Now, Jim Chanos yesterday, he's a perma bear. You always have to put it in perspective when somebody comes out with this big negative story about how this is going to spread to the whole world. Well, Jim Chanos is a perma-bear. I mean, you can ask him any day, whether the sun is shining, whether it's raining, whether it's pouring, whether the market's hitting new highs, he's going to be negative. That's what he does for a living. He's a professional bear. And he was showing that it shows the fragility of the Chinese business model. Well, I think the Chinese business model, the bigger threat there is the Chinese government. And they are definitely showing their muscles here in that public company capitalism, quasi-capitalism area, big time. And it makes it just impossible to invest in China. I don't know. You know, it seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot, but it's China, and China will be China. Well, we'll be watching technical levels. I do that every single week in my newsletter. I do it every single day. So far, the S&P 500 held on to its big technical levels. Remember, that was just a one-day sell-off, although we have had kind of a drift downwards over the last several weeks. And so far, the other indexes, the Dow, the NASDAQ, are holding on to their important technical levels. As I said before, Mohammed El Aryan says, I don't think we're at a Lehman moment. You see, that was kind of at the core of our big financial crisis in 2008-09 when Lehman Brothers failed. That brought a lot of others down with it. And he doesn't think we're at that moment, and I would agree with that. Okay, now, let's look at the other side of the street. Fundstrat's Tom Lee says the stocks dip. This stock dip is a really good buying opportunity. I agree with that, but it totally depends on what you're buying. I said in my newsletter over the weekend, and I've been saying for a few weeks, that the reflation trade is dead. Because a lot of that reflation trade are basic materials, commodities. China is the biggest consumer of basic materials and commodities in the world, and with China now stumbling big time and causing their own stumbling, you know, this is self-inflicted. But, you know, it's more about politics than anything else. That's going to really cool off the demand for deer equipment and Caterpillar equipment and iron ore and steel pellets and copper and all these other things. And like I say, that's an area that is not bouncing at all today. Alcoa, Caterpillar, Cleveland Cliffs, Cummins Engines, Deere, Freeport-McMoRan, and the solar stocks, First Solar, etc., they continue to get clobbered. So, yes, I do think it's a good buying opportunity, but it also depends on what you're going to buy. Okay, now Tom Lee does tend to be kind of a perma bull, all right, but he's not as bad as Chanos is as being a perma bear. And once again, you know, where am I going to look? I'm going to look to my top-ranked stocks. I have my own ranking system, proprietary ranking system that guides me. And I look at those top 300-400 every single day, and many of them I already own. These are the stocks that are holding up on a relative strength basis in a fairly weak market right now. These are the stocks that are still growing their earnings at a superior pace, still haven't gotten like way overblown from a valuation point of view, and have the relative strength underneath them. Now, some of those are going to fall from grace here because of their exposure to China. All of a sudden, we're going to start looking at how much of their sales come from China. If China is cracking down on their own, don't you think that crackdown is going to extend to U.S. companies doing business in China? Absolutely. And don't you think that the supply chain is going to be crimped here by this Chinese crackdown? Absolutely. So I think that's a big factor that you have to take into account in your investing. Okay, let's switch to COVID for a minute. J&J's COVID booster shot provides 94% protection 2 months after the first dose. That's pretty powerful. How is J&J stock doing here? You know, really, the big drug stocks, other than one I'm going to mention here in a bit, J&J is a pretty good bounce here today, up about 0.5%. But the real big winner today is AstraZeneca. Wow, that thing all of a sudden is taking off. Not only do they have their vaccine, but now their breast cancer drug is doing better than the other metastatic breast cancer drugs. This is a real growth stock, AstraZeneca. And all of a sudden now it's starting to pick up some relative strength too. AZN. We'll be right back. back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little better today than yesterday. The NASDAQ up 45 right now, Dow up 105 after yesterday's big sell-off, which always brings out, the perma bears. I did hear a few people saying that the end is here for the market that started in 2009. Dow 6,500, now it's 35,000, 34,000. Is this the end? I don't see it as the end yet, but we're always on guard. We take it a day at a time. All right, now, just in time for Halloween, Fauci says COVID-19 vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11 could be available before Halloween. Trick or treat. AstraZeneca's Enhertu beats Roche's Kadcyla in head-to-head breast cancer trial. And AstraZeneca stock been very, very strong here recently. Wedbush doubles down on tech stock favorites after sell-off creates opportunities. Now you're talking my language. That's where I think. I mean, you can't just say, okay, buy the dip. This is a great buying opportunity. Well, in what? Okay, it's not a great buying opportunity, in my opinion, in Freeport-McMoRan or in Deere or in Caterpillar or in First Solar. Here's what Wedbush is saying. They still think massive growth is on the horizon with tech stocks and FANG names. Apple is their favorite FANG stock at Wedbush. Well, that was the only buy I made yesterday. I did pick up a little bit of Apple when the Dow was down about 900 for some of my new clients. Wedbush likes Apple. Cloud favorites are Microsoft. Okay, I agree with that. Microsoft is doing a big buyback, and there's just all kind of good things happening. DocuSign. They like Matterport, MTTR. I don't particularly like that one. Pega Systems, I don't particularly like. Pega. Veronis, that one I do like. VRNS, that is a cyber security stock, and that is a sector of the market I continue to like. They like Zscaler. ZS, I also like that one. They like CyberArk, Tenable, Palo Alto Networks, and Fortinet. Another one I like, FTNT. So, again, is this buying opportunity? The answer is, it depends. It depends on what you are buying. I'll be looking today, like I do every day. I go through my list of stocks I own first. I did unload one stock yesterday for a small profit, like 12% or something like that. It was a kind of a quasi-tech infrastructure stock, and it leaned more to the side of being a reflation stock, and therefore I got rid of it yesterday. I've been dumping the reflation stocks over the last couple of weeks because I saw the weakness there, and I want to tell you, I'm glad I got out of the way because they just got clobbered yesterday. They're not bouncing today. They got clobbered on Friday. Not a good place to be in the market. There's a dip I would not be buying. Tesla gets a patent from the United States Patent and Trademark Office for electric drive unit cooling system. You know, Tesla stock, let's see how it's holding up in all of this. Tesla has kind of an artificial backstop to it. And that's all of the Tesla fans. Nice bounce in Tesla today. Tesla needs to kind of break through 765, something like that. It's at 740 right now. But it looks okay. I don't see anything wrong with the chart of Tesla. The other patent that we need to watch this stock. It has not gone public yet. Rivian. R-I-V-N. Is what they call it today, but it's not a publicly traded company. They're going to hit a part of the electric car market that I haven't really seen anyone else tackling, and that's the minivan. Okay? That's still a popular, I remember when the minivan was the hottest thing going in the automobile sector. Yesterday, Rivian filed for a patent on an automotive vehicle sliding side door with dual guide rail, leading to speculation that Rivian is looking at developing an electric minivan. So we'll watch for that IPO. They could be a blockbuster. Maybe not as big as Tesla, but right up there. Rivian is very much watched. They're definitely after the electric truck market. And if they're going to do that electric minivan, that makes it even a more interesting story. Okay, another area of the market that buying the dips doesn't make sense to me, the home builders. D.R. Horton lowers their Q4 guidance. Why? Supply chain disruptions, shortages for laborers, and building material delays. That continues to plague a lot of industries right now. I know the boat industry has been plagued by that. The home building industry has been plagued by that. And even worse yet, the auto industry. And that continues to be another area of the market to avoid. Auto suppliers trade lower as supply chain disruptions impact near-term expectations. Now, I was buying that auto sector earlier this year with the thought in mind that the booming electric vehicle industry would help out with some of the, you know, the mainstream suppliers like BorgWarner and Magna International and Lear Corp, etc. But that whole trade started to come unwound about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, with the disruptions in the supply chain. I completely backed out of my exposure there, and I want to tell you, that's why you got to have a sell discipline. At some point, you got to pull the plug and say, you know what? I'm not in the right place here. I got to go. Bye. And that sell discipline, very, very important. I did that with the reflation trade here also recently, and I'm happy I did it. EVGO, EVGO, they've now sold 300,000 chargers. Not L.A. chargers, former San Diego chargers, but the kind you put in your garage or wherever to charge your EV vehicle. That's another area that I can't see any big profits or sustainable growth, unless somebody really, really takes command of that market with the building of the charging stations. I don't see Blink Charging as a good investment, and some of the other big companies that want to take over that market, not a good place. Uber technology stock gains on improved Q3, Q4 outlook. You know, that's another area, Uber and Lyft, I don't know that they'll ever be profitable. These have not been good stocks. But you're seeing a nice bounce in Uber today. Uber is ranked number 3001 out of about 5,900 stocks in my database. It's having a good bounce today as they guide sales higher, bookings higher. I'm waiting for them to guide profit higher. They can't do that yet because they're are no profits yet. And I would say, again, you know, last year as we came out of COVID and the retail buyer was really kind of a dominant force in the market last year, and you saw all of this buying going on in the meme stocks like AMC and GameStop and others. There was also a lot of buying taking place in companies that don't have any profits now, and it may be a long time before they ever are profitable. But that was the trade last year. Well, it wasn't the only trade last year, but it was a very, very hot trade last year. And a lot of those stocks, Coinbase, I don't know. I mean, I could go on and on with companies, Robinhood, that you wonder about, will they ever be profitable? And that's an area that the ARK funds continues to favor, Kathy Woods, and I think, you know, her and I have a disagreement on that front, but You know, that's what makes the markets, you know. I have a different opinion. I don't think this is a market where you can buy stocks that it's questionable as to when they'll ever be profitable and have sustainable growth in their profitability. That's why the market is seeking out big, profitable companies with sustainable and predictable growth. That's where the action is right now. When we come back, we'll try to identify some of those areas. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final. Wow, the Dow just went negative. How about that? We're down 14 points now. 33,955. We couldn't hold 34,000. So the buy the dip. Now they're at one end of the rope, tugging and pulling and, you know, groaning and pulling with all their might. And the other end of the rope, you got the sell the rally crowd fighting. And right now the sell the rally crowd has barely pulled the taken sway here with the Dow down 16. NASDAQ is also down now 1 point. Well, I would expect a seesaw battle here in volatility with this news out of China. This China news and what's coming out of China seems to be the biggest factor right now impacting the market. Yes, the Fed is meeting this week. We'll hear from the Fed. When are they going to taper? But I think this turn that China has taken towards, you know, their hardcore socialism really kind of is a surprise in how they're eating their own companies like they're doing. And really, you know, I mean, convincing the rest of the world you don't want to invest in China. There's too much regulatory government risk. Really has kind of changed the complexion of the global economy big time here in the last couple of months. It's hard to see the kind of robust global growth going forward with, you know, continued problems coming from the COVID and now the issues with China. Now, if it's all it would take, you know, is for China and the U.S. to come to some kind of, you know, negotiations or talking to one another to help the situation. But right now we're kind of just in a black hole with what's going on there in China. And it's definitely impacting the market, but certain areas of the market, at least for now. Okay, I'm going to mention three stocks here in the final 6 or 7 minutes that I have here. The stock of the day, Hellbiz. I don't know that much about it other than it was a SPAC. It's been going sideways at $10 a share forever. And today it is up 178% as they sign a streaming deal in Italy with Amazon. That stock is the stock of the day, HLBZ. What in the hell biz is going on there? But that seems to be the news, okay? The other one that I would mention, it's hitting a new all-time high. I've discussed it before. It's one of the strongest stocks in the entire market, and it continues to be a strong relative strength stock. InMode, I-N-M-D, which is an Israeli seller of radio frequency devices used in minimally and non-invasive cosmetic procedures and women's health. In other words, some kind of lasers, right, used for cosmetic procedures and women's health. That stock continues to hit new all-time highs. Their earnings continue to soar. Their earnings have been growing by 161% per year over the last 5 years. It's now a $6 billion company, and it's one of the top-ranked stocks in the app, beststocksnowapp.com, my invention, beststocksnowapp.com, where you can look up my proprietary ranking, and a lot of other interesting statistics on individual stocks. There's almost 6,000 in the database, and I continue to add more and more and more, and we're right on the cusp. Any day now, we'll have the new improved version of the app with all kinds of different screens and whatnot. I'm just waiting to hear, see that beta version and test it out. And I'm told it will be this week. BestStocksNowApp.com. InMode, one of the top-ranked stocks, INMD. Another one in the news today. This has always been a very profitable business, equipment rental. Herc Holdings, HRI. They had their investor meeting yesterday. They're out of Bonita Springs, Florida. That's where they're headquartered. But they have 277 locations, principally in the North America. Maybe they would be a buyout candidate at some point from like a United Rentals. I don't know. But in the meantime, they've had phenomenal earnings growth. 76% per year over the last 5 years. 76% per year. And they just had their investor meeting. They guided higher. The stock's having a good day. It's up 3.3%. It's ranked number 112 overall out of 5,900 stocks in my database. It's a $3.8 billion market cap company. It's a small cap, but their earnings growth has been spectacular. Not sales growth. That's the top line, okay? There's a lot of companies out there with good top line growth. When will they be profitable? That's the question. When will it drop to the bottom line? That's what we call earnings. Earnings are a lot more valuable than sales. And Herc certainly has grown their earnings at a very nice pace. HRI. Not recommendations. These are just stocks that are showing up in my screens right now. All right. Well, you know what? The newsletter, it would have got you out of these reflation stocks way before they got wasted. It would have got you out of the high-flying tech stocks, speculative stocks, back in February before they really got hammered. It would have got you all in the market last March at the bottom of COVID. How many people did that? I offer out 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter, which is my internal research. I give you 2 free weeks. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. You can see what's in my portfolios and how they've done. Or you just bypass all of that and say, you know what, I like what I hear on this show. I can tell these guys are a little bit more proactive than these passive managers out there that buy ETF models and asset allocations based on age, when it should be based on a lot more than age. You should got to take into account what's going on in the world every day and be a little more active than passive. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. We've been opening a lot of new accounts recently. That's all I can say. You know, we seem to have people that like what they hear on this show every day. 855-611-BEST, or get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.